All right, Chris, take it away with our opening jingle.
Do, 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 Pets at Life, do, 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 do. Look out, narrator, I'm coming for your job.
Pets at Life, your guide to the latest in pet trends, products, and the joy of the human-animal bond. With Kristen Levine and Chris Bonifati, powered by the American Pet Products Association and Dog TV.
I'm coming for it. I'm coming for your job, narrator and jingle maker. It's not enough to co-host this wonderful podcast with Kristen Levine. Hi, Kristen. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris. And I don't think that guy has anything to worry about with you taking this job.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty
jingles
fair.
Jingles are not your jam. And
I'm not a jingler. I'm not a jingle jammer, but I am here to co-host the Pets Ad Life podcast, where we will be bringing you a pair of stories, a pair of guests, a pair of product recommendations, and answering a couple of your questions as well. So I'm really excited to get this show going. We're back from global. We're all well rested, and we're ready to go back to our regularly scheduled format here now that we're through with all those special episodes.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but I'm kind of glad we're back to normal.
Back to business. Yeah, those episodes were fun. This is going to be a very serious episode. Really,
right.
Brace yourself because we take ourselves very seriously here.
Oh my goodness.
Kristen and Chris present Storytime.
Well, do you want to kick it off with your first story?
Yeah, why not? Let's get right into it. So I said that we're taking things a little seriously here, and I do not joke. That's one thing you should know about Chris is I never joke. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about my association, APPA. We released the pet industry expenditures and things like that. I don't want to bore you pet parents with like big economy numbers. You know, we're spending billions, literally billions, $64.4 billion spent in the United States on pet food and treats. That's an insane number. Just really try to conceptualize that.
Wow.
But there's a couple of other fun facets in here that I think you guys all might find a little interesting because you're all, whether you like it or not, if you own a pet, you're part of this industry. You make purchases around those pets and you sustain several manufacturers, distributors, retailers, all wonderful business people, just like you and I trying to get through their day. So what's one thing that I found really cool is the percentage of households that own pets has normalized to pre-pandemic levels, even though the number of households that owns pets has increased over time. So we're out of the new normal and back to the old normal as far as animal ownership goes, which is great news. There was a big fear that after the pandemic ended, all of those COVID dogs would end up back in shelters. Yeah. While that certainly is probably true on like a micro case, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't appear to be what's happening. And the other little factoid I wanted to present is that millennials are the largest pet owning generation, but Gen Z's right behind them. And Gen Z is fundamentally changing the way that businesses market and sort of advertise their pet products. So the younger generations really prefer visual medias. They like those Instagrams and TikTok reels and things like that. We saw a lot of really great educational stuff for our pet product manufacturers at Global Pet Expo in regards to how to market yourself on the internet. So get ready for some pet products advertised in between your Instagram reels. Get ready to see some pet products on the doom scrolls because times are changing and the pet industry is catching up. So this was an exciting report to read.
It's good news. And I actually attended one of those marketing learning sessions at Global. And one of the ways that Gen Z is changing the way we shop is they're searching. They're more likely to search for products on social. So on TikTok, Instagram. Whereas, you know, myself, I might search on Google still, but they are using social as their favorite form of search. So pretty interesting. But like you said, so that's going to be a great way to find products because pet product makers know that now. So you're going to see more great stuff in your feed.
That is true. That is true. All right. Well, what do you have for me, Kristen?
So my story's a lot fluffier than yours. You know, I know this show is airing after Easter, and you know, Easter is a time when a lot of parents will buy bunny rabbits for their kids because it's Easter and it seems like a great idea. But then after Easter, shelters or rabbit rescues tend to see a lot of these rabbits being surrendered. So I think this is a really great time if you've been thinking about getting a pet and you're not ready for a dog or a cat, this might be a really great time to adopt a rabbit from the shelters who are getting this, you know, being inundated with returned rabbits. But first, I wanted to mention that while they make great pets, it's important to know that they can live for up to 10 years. They have special health needs. Like, it's ideal if you take your pet rabbit to an exotic animal hospital as opposed to, you know, a hospital that has vets that specialize in small animals. And also, rabbits are really smart, so it's not good for them to live primarily in a cage all the time. They really need at least 2 to 4 hours of exercise every day to feel mentally and physically stimulated and, you know, to get that enrichment that they need. But they do make great pets. And a girlfriend of mine has – she just rescued 3 rabbits about a month ago. And she said they've just brought so much joy to her life. She's newly divorced, so she's gone through a rough, you know, a rough year. But she is just, she can't stop talking about how wonderful her rabbits are and how great they make her feel. So I don't know. I thought between her story and then this, the situation with rabbits probably being returned this time of year, something to consider.
That's very thoughtful of you. Way more thoughtful than me regurgitating my day job onto everybody at home. What's like the temperament of a rabbit like? I don't think I've ever seen a domesticated rabbit. Are they like, I imagine in my head when I picture rabbit pet, I see like a very energetic animal. Is that the case or can they be cozy and snuggly too?
I would say they're both. I don't think they're super energetic. Okay. They definitely need exercise, like I just mentioned. And they're, I think the one thing of caution is that they are very delicate, so they don't make great pets for small children. And rabbits can be very easily frightened too. So maybe when your kids are like 7 or 8, a little bit older, they're able to understand how delicate the rabbit is, and you can teach them how to hold the rabbit and support their feet and that sort of thing. But yeah, they're really cuddly. They really are cuddly, and they're very social animals. So it's great if they live with another bunny, but you want to make sure it's not a male and female. Make sure they're fixed if they are male and female. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole lot of bunnies.
We all know what rabbits do.
We do.
That's great. What a great story.
Yeah. So I think let's get to our first guest. This is a Shark Tank celebrity, and we got to talk to him at Global about his company and the deal he got with Mark Cuban. And so let's listen to the interview.
Beyond the Leash, exploring the untold stories of pet passion and professionalism.
Chris, we have a celebrity in the house.
I know. Rare. Well, not that rare.
Well,
the Pal Podcast, but this is a really special celebrity.
Yeah,
one that's been on TV, actual cable.
Yeah. Welcome, Ben Seidman.
All right.
Mella,
good to be here.
Care.
Yeah. It's strange to be called a celebrity, but I'll take it.
Well,
you guys are the celebrities to me, so.
Yeah, well, wow. That's a huge compliment. Wow. I'll let that go to my head. Let's talk a bit about your product, the Mella Home Thermometer, for those of our listeners who are at home and haven't heard of it. Why don't you give them a quick rundown on the product?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't taken your dog's temperature before, your cat's temperature, you've probably taken them to the vet and you've seen them get an rectal temperature taken. I remember taking my dog, Biggie, to the vet for the first time, and they had to take him to the back, have multiple people hold him down to take a rectal temperature. Now we've brought an underarm thermometer that uses machine learning to take temperature under the foreleg or hind leg of a cat or a dog. So it's connected to an app. It sends data in real time to your veterinarian, to telehealth, to your practice management system, if you're a vet, really giving pet parents the tools they need to be able to take that most basic vital sign. So that's where we started as a company, and we're building an ecosystem of all different types of vital signs monitoring devices. But if you're not sure if your pet's scratching, itching, lethargic, and you don't want to run over to the vet just to get a rectal temperature, take an underarm temperature at home. We are the first and only patent protected and have the algorithm and the clinical trials to prove it.
And this is something simple enough that any Joe Schmo off the street can operate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even you, Chris.
Even me, yeah. Everybody knows I struggle with technology.
Yeah, you can see even on the back here, you have, you know, pets taking temperatures for each other.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, pets can use it themselves one day, hopefully.
right.
But you
mentioned the Mellipet Care ecosystem. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when we came into the space, we actually came to Global Pet in 2019 when this was just an idea. And we looked around and we said, there's nothing like this. And we were like, okay, we need to start this company. There's, you know, so much nutrition, so much furniture, so much pets, treats, leashes. But there aren't that many health devices for pet parents to really take ownership of their pet's health. That's why we started the company in a big way. Mm-hmm. And then as we got further and further into that, we understood, you know, pet weight. How do you take your pet's weight in the home? You jump on a scale with them. I have to weigh myself. That's, I don't want to weigh weights.
Right.
You know, there should be a
then
scale.
Then you got to do math.
You got to do math.
Subtract.
You got to whip out the calculator.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that. We're working on a food bowl, smart food bowl, a pulse oximeter, a blood pressure monitor, all of these things that ultimately the goal is to bring the vet into the home so that they have an eye and ear. Because as pet parents, we like to think we know our pets, but they're a different species. They don't have the same physiologies as we do. And we want to equip pet parents to be more engaged with that. But the goal is really to create that bridge and to allow that data to be shared so that vets aren't just, you know, seeing them when they come in every year or two.
Yeah, that's great. And for those of you at home, you may recognize this product. It was on Shark Tank recently. So, Ben, why don't you tell us a bit about that experience and what it was like to go on a show like Shark Tank?
Yeah, no, it was thrilling. I think, you know, everyone has been coming up to us saying, hey, the you know, number one question is like, you know, were you so nervous? Were you so nervous? And, you know, the truth is, yes, until kind of we got past the bright lights and they're just people and we were the experts in the room. And it felt like a normal conversation like this, you know, a boardroom where you've had those conversations with investors many, many times. So really, you know, it was this big, giant room studio. So we were kind of far away from each other. But, you know, once we got past the bright lights, we just kind of did our thing and it was a normal conversation. It was really a thrilling experience. Go watch the show if you haven't seen it already. I did a little rap on the show. I'm not sure if you saw it or not. And then, you know, the second question everyone asks us is like, you know, did you get the deal done? Cause you know, people say, yeah, you know, do these things actually happen? And yes. And you know, we've been working with Mark and his team and is amazing. You know, he responds to emails in like seconds.
Wow.
Minutes, so. We've had a really successful experience.
That's cool to hear because you always wonder about how those deals actually do they actually work
how
out?
How much real is in reality TV, right? But that's amazing. I mean, Mark Cuban must be an amazing back pocket investor to have. He brings so much experience to the table.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know how about the path to getting onto Shark Tank. Like, what did that look like?
Yeah, well, I mean, at these shows also, there's, you know, the Shark Tank casting producers that are looking at different companies. That's kind of how we got spotted. That, you know, we can't go into like the detailed details, but we work with their producing team. They help you come up with that pitch, right? And you know, ultimately the Q&A is up to you, right? You know, they're numbers driven investors. They're going to ask you. You got to know your numbers cold. They, you know, cut out things that are not super, super exciting to the American public. But,
sure.
You know, it's very much a normal conversation. And, you know, if you're going to go on Shark Tank, watch as many episodes. You know all the questions they're going to ask. So, absolutely. Great.
I know. Whenever my husband and I watch Shark Tank and, you know, people do silly stuff, we're like, I can't believe they did that. Haven't they been watching the show? You never say that.
Yeah. It's very easy to fall into those pitfalls, right? Yeah. Well, I'm very happy that you managed to pick up Mark. I mean,
yeah, he'd
be my
choice
personally. He'd be my choice. But that's really great. So with all that investment, what's the future of Mellipet look like?
Yeah, so it's going towards more inventory to fulfill demand and R&D of new products as well. We watched it. It was actually my son's first birthday along with the Shark Tank watch party. So it was just this, you know, kind of the best day ever. It was so suspenseful, you know, the way they cut it up that, like, I didn't even know it was going to happen. I don't remember saying that.
But you were there.
But, you know, certainly for us, it was, you know, getting a shark on board and having them on our team was really the number one thing for us. And we are just continuing to expand to get into distribution at shows like this. And to educate the pet parent, right?
Yeah.
Because this isn't something that you see every day on a pet shelf. And, That's something that, you know, we need to help everyone understand is, you know, being a good pet parent means having a thermometer in the home for your pet.
Sure. Absolutely. And where can pet parents find the underarm pet thermometer?
Yeah. So on our website at www.mella.ai, M-E-L-L-A.ai. Also Amazon, also Chewy, also Walmart.com. Hopefully on shelves near you as well. Yeah. Working on that. Distribution in different parts of the world where folks are really excited. But yeah, hopefully more, you know, everywhere you see a human thermometer, you should see a pet thermometer right next to it. So that's our goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on.
Congratulations.
Thank you both.
An amazing chat. Always a pleasure to talk to a star.
Hey, it's always good to be called a star. And yeah,
Hey, we're going to have back next year to see what kind of innovations they've come up with.
Yes, I want to see you come back with like a shark suit on yourself, you know, you're going to the lineup, but you seem like a pretty... sharp business guy, so I'm sure that won't be a problem at all.
We'll have new products for you to show, and yeah, we'll dress up for you if you'd like.
There we go. Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, I was kidding. That's not necessary. We keep it light. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you both.
Pets Add Life. It was really great hearing from Ben. What a cool product too. We all have a thermometer, I'm sure, at home for ourselves. I would consider that essential, right? Like, that's just something you got to keep around. Never even dawned on me that it'd be important to have one for my pet. So I think that's a really cool product to push animal care forward a bit.
I agree. And not only that, they also have other really cool products that this investment is going to help them bring to market, like a scale, and there's some other tools too. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from Mella Pet Care.
Next time we see Ben, he's going to be in like an expensive Brooks Brothers suit with a really nice watch. He's going to be looking down his nose at us. He's going to be uber successful because he's got a really great line coming out.
He does. I hope so.
Who do we have next? I think we got one more guest for today, right?
Yeah, we did. Actually, we sat down with Gwen, Adria, and her dog Darla. Well, actually, you renamed a dog Starla because she is
a star. That is the dog's stage name. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm pretty sure we get her in the shot. She is a diva. She deserves all the screen time and is a born star. But their story is amazing. So let's check out that interview. Pets Add Life.
Alrighty, our next guests are Adriana Kelly, Gwen Donahue, and the lovely Darla, who we've just renamed.
Starla, yeah. That is her stage name, Starla. And she clearly has 100% star power, is really showing us all up. It feels bad, but I'm proud of her. So.
Well, most importantly, you ladies are both from Pet Partners, and we're going to talk about what the organization does. And Adria, you've been a volunteer there for 20 years?
Yeah, actually a little bit over, maybe about 22 years.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear some of your stories, too, on how impactful your experience has been. So I'm going to start with Gwen. Gwen, tell us a little bit about what Pet Partners is.
So Pet Partners is the leading national nonprofit registering therapy animal teams to bring them into situations where people could benefit from the presence of animals. We have about 8,000 volunteers around the country and in 12 foreign countries. Our mission is to improve human health and well-being through the human-animal bond.
Fantastic. And you need volunteers.
We do. Like I said, 8,000 sounds like a lot, but in recent years, our numbers have gone down, and the need for therapy animals has never been greater. As we all know, there's been a lot of emotional stress on the population between COVID and economic unrest and social discord, and our therapy animal teams are doing great things in hospitals, nursing homes, schools, libraries, but we can certainly use a lot more. So if anyone has a calm, mild-mannered pet, we encourage you to come and get registered as a therapy animal team.
So you say calm and mild-mannered. Are there any other qualities that our listeners should be looking for in an animal, or even if they're just a prospective pet parent who might be interested in adopting or fostering an animal that may go on to be a therapy dog, any type of specific characteristics they should be looking for?
They definitely should be comfortable in unfamiliar situations with unfamiliar people, unfamiliar locations, and be open to people. They need to be able to be around other animals. And one of the unique things about Pet Partners is we register more than dogs. Now, the vast majority of our therapy animal teams are dogs, but we also register cats, rabbits, guinea pigs, rats, mini horses, mini donkeys, alpacas, llamas.
So they truly come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And I know I personally at first thought therapy dogs were mostly just larger dogs. I always think of labs or shepherds or collie mixes. But here we even have petite little Darla here, who is so just darling and cute, and wouldn't initially strike me as a therapy dog. But I feel much calmer than I usually do recording now in her presence. So why don't we learn a little bit about Darla and her story and maybe how she became a therapy dog?
That's a good question, Chad. She actually has a very interesting history. Darla had been a show dog, and she was at a show in New England, and the breeder was setting them up, had them in an X pen so they could relieve themselves before going into the show, turned around, and while she was getting something else out in the car, a coyote jumped into the X pen. And there was a few dogs in the X-Pen besides Darla. They all ran to one side. Darla was the last one. When the breeder heard the commotion, she turned around, and Darla was actually in the coyote's mouth. And the breeder beat the coyote with her purse and got the coyote to drop Darla, and then grabbed Darla. And luckily, in spite of the fact that she was in his mouth, she did not suffer any physical injuries, but she was messed up psychologically. She was messed up. The breeder kept her for about a year, worked with her, but she wasn't the same. She'd be in the show ring, and she wouldn't put her tail up, and she'd always be looking behind her. So the breeder knew that I was looking for someone to do therapy work with, and she called me up and asked me if I would like Darla, because she absolutely had the personality to be a therapy dog. She was just afraid of everything. So I worked with her for about 9 months. I took her everywhere, flea markets, everywhere that would let me bring a dog, and I would say, let people hold her, let people pet her, let her get exposed to loud noises, all kinds of different things. And after about 9 months, I went to Pet Partners. We had her evaluated, and she passed. She passed with flying colors. And like you, the evaluator first said to me, "What? A Chihuahua?"
That's an amazing story, but you've been doing this for 22 years.
That's
you said?
Not with her. She's
not with her. Yeah. So
she's
how many therapy
she's my
dogs
third
have you?
Therapy
third.
Dog.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and
amazing.
I do have another. I have a fourth one.
And how many? If you could guesstimate, how many people do you think you've helped across three therapy dogs?
Well, I can tell you, Darla is going to be evaluated for the third time in May. So she has 5 years of experience. She already has over 500 therapy
wow.
visits.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So, and that's just Darla. So, as Gwen mentioned, there's a huge, huge need for therapy animals. When I first started, it was just nursing homes that wanted them, and maybe hospitals, hospice. Now, everybody sees the benefits of therapy animals, and they want them. Besides going to assisted living facilities, she goes to schools. She goes to the colleges. The colleges like her freshman orientation when people are a little stressed out. Of course, exam time. She goes to conferences and things like this. I'm very fortunate. I live near Daytona Beach, so I'm kind of halfway between Jacksonville and Orlando, and we get invited to go to events at both places. Where else does she go? You mentioned libraries. A lot of research has shown that programs like Read With Me, where dogs go into either schools or libraries and have children read to the dogs, they can increase their reading abilities two or three grade levels in as little as 6 months. It is amazing, and I understand it. I'm not a psychologist, or whatever.
But you've seen it with your own eyes.
As I understand it, reading is mechanical, and by reading aloud to the dogs, it gets those neurons of the brain working, so it makes them.
And there's no judgment.
And the dog, of course, is not judgmental. The dog doesn't care if you mispronounce somebody's, whatever the word is. It's just, okay, well, this is a great story.
Sounds great to me. So, Adria, tell us a little bit about your path to working with Pet Partners as a volunteer. What led you there?
I got started in doing pet therapy work. I used to have ferrets, and I belonged to a ferret club, and the ferret club was across the street from a veterans home. And one night, the president of the club said, "You know what? I think we're going to go across the street and visit the veterans with our ferrets." And we did. And the veterans loved having the ferrets there. So I said, "You know what? If I ever get a dog, I'm going to do this." And my favorite ferret passed away, and I replaced him with my first dog, a long coat chihuahua named Carmen. And I was looking for some place that I could register the dogs with. This was way back in the Wild West days of like the early 90s. And there really wasn't a lot of places. Well, first of all, places didn't even care whether or not you were registered. There was at that time only two, and Pet Partners wasn't even Pet Partners. They were called Delta Society. So we got in touch with somebody, and I lived in New Jersey, and they actually had an evaluator in the Philadelphia area. So we went down there, and we were evaluated down there, and we started doing that. And as the years have passed, more and more places not only wanted therapy animals, but they also wanted you to have insurance with your animal. And that's why you really want to have belong to an organization.
So obviously the world needs more Adrias. So Gwen, why don't you tell us a bit about what a volunteer might do if they decide, hey, I want to become a part of this. What would that be like for them? What sort of things should they expect out of that type of partnership?
So to become a volunteer, the steps, I mean, you obviously want to make sure you think your pet has the aptitude for it, but we have an online course, and that covers things like infection control, animal welfare, you know, policies for visiting. Then your veterinarian would sign off on a health form, and then you have an in-person evaluation, which Adrian could probably tell you a little bit more about, and then you get registered as a therapy team.
So it's that easy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I
we'll say easy. It's easy with the right animal.
Well, how many locations around the country are there that do the evaluations?
So the evaluators are all over the country. So you would just hook up with one of them. We have independent volunteers. We also have community groups. So a lot of times people like that social aspect, and there's large community groups all over the country that are affiliated with Pet Partners. As Adria said, the insurance that we offer our registered volunteers is great, because especially a lot of facilities like hospitals and nursing homes really want to make sure that you're insured just in case anything happens. But yeah, no, it's you know, I don't want to say that it's easy. We definitely have rigorous standards, because we want to protect the safety and health and welfare of the animals, as well as the people that they're visiting and the handlers. But I think that's what makes us the leading program.
Absolutely. And you mentioned you have something coming up on April the 30th?
We do. It's National Therapy Animal Day, where we celebrate all therapy animals around the world, all of that our volunteers do, because that it is a volunteer-based organization. And this year, we're really calling for more volunteers, more people to get involved. We also have a special program that we're trying to get more cats.
Don't look at me. My cat does not like people. She tolerates me at best.
Yeah, but believe it or not, there are cats that make great therapy animals, and especially some situations that people might be scared of dogs, they go towards cats.
Or allergic or any reason, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Cat Person is a cat brand, and they're partnered with us to give incentives to cat teams. So if you go to our website, petpartners.org, and look under volunteering, especially if you're a cat person, you can get some discounts on the registration. But otherwise, it's just an amazing program. And I think, you know, Adria can probably tell you what it does for you, as well as the people that you and Darla and Lucy visit.
I love animals. And I can't imagine, like, being someplace where I couldn't see animals and have them near me. So to me, it's like a natural thing to go. Besides being a therapy dog, Darla has 8 AKC titles. She does, she doesn't do agility, but she does fast cat, and she's, which is a 100-yard dash for dogs. She's a certified farm dog. She has all of her good citizen titles. So she does a lot of stuff.
She's the total package. Beauty, brawn, and brains. I mean, the triple threat.
But I always say I'm most proud of her work as a therapy dog.
Sure,
sure, yeah. Absolutely.
That's probably the most difficult. So, and it's great work that you all do.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That was petpartners.com.
.org.
Petpartners.org. Yeah. Be on the lookout April 30th for Therapy Dog Day.
Yep, National Therapy Animal Day.
National Therapy Animal
You're fired,
Day.
Chris. You're fired.
Here I am just being stubborn and shallow as they continue to tell me that there's therapy alpacas out there and I'm discriminating against them. So be on the lookout for all that amazing information. Head on over to the website. See if you are interested in volunteering. We could always use more help. And thanks again, you two, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Pets Add Life.
So I had no idea there was a shortage of therapy animals. So I think this is a really exciting opportunity for folks who've maybe always thought about it, but just figured, you know, I don't know how to go about getting certified and all that stuff. But just to know that they are actively looking for volunteers and that it doesn't have to be a dog or a cat. It can really be just about any pet.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think the most difficult part of that process is starting and knowing, and that's what they're there to help you with is getting past that. So if you're at home and you have a kind-tempered animal who you've always thought would make a great therapy animal, now might be your time to step into the Starla light. Is that good?
The product of the week.
Chris, what is your product of the week? Your
last night I was inspired. I was making some chicken broth, and my favorite part of making homemade chicken broth is when it finally cools and you take a ladle and you sip the fresh stock. It's just so it's so delicious, and it's so
yummy.
It's yummy and it's comforting. Like, we all know that flavor of chicken noodle soup. And it reminded me of a time that Tiger, my cat, had an issue with her tooth. And she was not like completely unable to eat kibble and was struggling with wet food too, because you know, they just need the tooth needed to get pulled or whatever. So we got Brutus broth. Now Brutus broth is a longstanding member of APPA, available in a ton of retailers from your Walmarts all the way down to your independents. And it is basically, it's essentially just salt-free bone broth. Because you know, our animals aren't supposed to have as much salt as us, so they take a lot of that sodium out. But the natural benefits of bone broth are all still there: joint health, the collagen for their skin. It's naturally infused with all sorts of nutrients that are essential to your animal's health. Brutus broth is specifically marketed towards dogs, but I've used it for my cat. I got the cat a cat brand one. I forget the brand. She did not like it, and then I got Brutus broth, and she was drinking it up like it's the fourth martini at happy hour. She was thoroughly enjoying it. You could use it as a topper. I was putting it in a separate bowl. Some animals are kind of like, you know how raccoons, they take their food and they dunk it in water first. There are some animals yeah. out there that enjoy some moisture on their kibble. So you might want to experiment with that a little bit. I just think it's a really cool product that's continuing to blend the lines between what's acceptable care for people and what's acceptable care for animals. Because oftentimes it's the same thing. We're all creatures of Earth. And we need, yep. generally speaking, we need the same nutrients, sure, in different quantities. But I just think it's great for animals to be able to enjoy that comfort that I find personally so endearing.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way to make sure your pet's getting enough hydration.
That's
true.
Just
add a little bit of the Brutus bone broth. It's hard to say.
Brutus bone broth. Yeah.
To their
beef,
dish.
Chicken, yeah. pork, salmon, and then they also have a line of treats and things like that. So be sure to check them out. You can find these folks anywhere, but support your independent retailer.
You got it. Okay, so my product of the week is from a company called Healers Pet Care. This is a comprehensive first aid kit, and I think this is good timing to talk about a first aid kit for your pet because it's springtime, we're spending more time outdoors, and this particular pet first aid kit is good for dogs, cats, really any pet, including equine, it says. So here's what's in the kit. It's got a a wound cleanser, and this is made from a hypochlorous solution, which is an all-natural spray that's designed to help clean and moisturize wounds so that they heal faster. And then it's got an ear and eye wash in the kit. This would be great after maybe, you know, a day at the beach with your dog, or maybe you just took a long walk. You know, keep in mind, our pets are low to the ground. So they, as we're walking, we kick up a lot of dust and pollen and things like that that can get in their eyes and ears. So an eye and ear wash is a really great routine type of thing to do after some outdoor time. It's also got a hot spot relief spray. And I think there are also some medical bandages in there that are reusable. So it's a pretty cool kit. It's very comprehensive. They've got a kit they've got the full kit that's $79.99, but then they have a kind of a mini kit with just the basics. And I think that one's around $30. So
check awesome.
Out Healers Pet Care. I know, yeah, you can find it on their website at healerspetcare.com, but I also know that they just got into CVS recently. So oh, wow. You might okay. check it out at CVS.
So yeah. you got a Healers Pet Kit, you get a Mela thermometer, and 8 years of schooling. You're a vet. How about that?
I didn't think about that theme there, but yeah, I like how I did that without even thinking about it.
Yeah, Kristen, you're just 8 years away from practicing veterinarian medicine. I believe it's 8 years. I believe it's which is a long time if you think about it. But you're that close. You've got the gear. You just need the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm ready. I just need a white coat.
Yeah, and Dr. Kristen Levine has a nice ring to it. We'll work on that. We're going to keep this podcast going for 8 years so that we could have Dr. Kristen Levine by the end of it. It'll be your character arc.
That happened, Chris, to me one time. I was doing a TV segment about pet products, and they put up my name, veterinarian Dr. Kristen Levine.
That's bad. That's borderline illegal.
That is bad.
You can't do that.
I know.
You can't do that. Oh man, that's great. Well, be sure to shop around for these products of the week. Look for them either online at your local pet store or wherever pet products may be sold. But I believe now it's time to get to a pair of questions from home. My personal favorite segment. I have no idea what's about to be asked of us.
Q&A's.
Am I hearing this right? We have a voicemail. Somebody left us a voice memo, and I believe we're going to go ahead and listen to that one.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
Hey, Kristen, Chris, this is Matt from New York. First time caller, long time listener. Just wanted to ask you a quick question about pet toys, specifically for cats. My partner and I have two cats. One is very playful. She loves her little blueberries from this blueberry pie cat toy we got. Our other cat, she really likes to snuggle, really likes to sunbathe. Playing isn't exactly her thing. So I was wondering if you had any ideas for any new pet toys that might make her exercise a little bit more so she doesn't get on the chunky side. Thanks.
I've had my fair share of chunky cats. Yeah. Yeah, we have a voicemail. Insane. Thank you for submitting your actual voice, Matt. And you're going to be coming through the airwaves into everybody's ears that you have transcended the human experience and you're now part of the podcast. So congratulations. nothing
and
wrong
I love
with
the question too.
Yeah, it's a great question because I think it displays how cats can have very different personalities. They're not all the same. I think we tend to put cats in there's how cats act box. But they have very dynamic and differentiating personalities. I wouldn't worry about it too much if your cat doesn't seem to be too interested in toys. But your final point saying, I don't want the cat to get too chunky, that is a good point. Cats do require some type of exercise. I would recommend looking for some, automatic products. Have you seen some of those, Kristen, where it sort of runs like a thing underneath like a blanket and things like that? Something that really simulates their natural instinct to hunt. Especially if your cats are on the younger side, they're probably coming into the age where those instincts are really starting to kick in. So it just seems like you've got one hunter on your hands and then one eater on your hands, which tends to happen.
Hey, well, and I have a tip also for Matt. Sometimes it's the way you're playing with the cat with a toy. So if cats would rather play with a toy with you involved. So, and that's also a great bonding experience. So what, when you do play with a, with your cat, whether it's a feather wand or a little catnip toy or whatever, move the toy away from them, because in the wild, prey moves away from the cat, typically not toward them. And if you move it away from them, they're more likely to engage and pounce on it. Now, if your cat, if this chubby cat just doesn't dig toys, you can make sure he gets some exercise by hiding his food around the house, like, so he has to walk to find it. If you have a staircase in your house and he hangs out downstairs, put the food upstairs, just get him moving.
Yeah.
Get him moving. Doesn't have to be a toy.
There's also some toys around that just kind of create an obstacle to eating. Like, they kind of have to open it up to get to their treat and things like that. And that could help spur some of those instincts forward.
Yeah. Check out Catit, C-A-T-I-T. They make some really, really cool, engaging cat toys.
Right. Well,
so we'll see if we can't get the couch potato up and playing.
Yeah, but if you end up with a chunky cat, listen, it happens to the best of us, okay? It's just something. It's just part of the natural forces in the world. Some cats are just made to be chunky.
Okay, so we're going to take another question. I take it that was our only voicemail question, right?
I think we had one voicemail, which is, okay. I mean, that's amazing in and of itself. So thank you, Matt, for submitting yourself to the podcast in audio form. But I believe we have plenty of text questions queued up. They're going to go ahead and pull one for us from the hat for Kristen to read for us in a second here. I'll continue to stall using my natural wit.
I have one.
Oh, you got one. Okay, excellent. I was running out of stuff.
And actually, this is a really this is a good one for you, actually.
Okay, let's hear
it. It's from Lorenzo from San Francisco. Lorenzo says, let's see, with the pet industry constantly evolving, what trends do you see emerging from the expo that pet owners should be excited about in the coming year?
Yeah, I think my big thing is pet tech. We are millennials. We own a lot of pets, and we are going to be the worst helicopter parents that the world has ever seen. We love staying on top of our pets' business. We want to know when they're eating, when they're drinking, if they're healthy. And there's all sorts of new tools. I mean, we just talked to Ben Seidman. He's got a great tool for keeping track of your pet's health. We want to be able to do that ourselves without having to bring a professional in and pay that really expensive vet bill. So expect a lot of really cool tech products that are going to plug into your smart home and become part of your tech routine. Because, you know, first we got all this like Google and Amazon stuff into our home to help with our lives. And then we brought all these pets into our home. And now there's going to be products that sort of play into that ecosystem really well. So be on the lookout for some of those. And you've heard from a couple of the great makers of similar products already.
Yeah. Same in the vets, in the vet world too. Telemedicine, being able to talk to a vet on your phone, that is definitely, it's already here, but it's evolving.
Yeah, take a look and keep your eyes on it all. I believe that's the end of our show. Thank you everyone for those questions. If you would like your question answered on this show, and if you are brave like Matt and want to leave a voice memo, you could go to dogtv.com/palpodcast. That's P-A-L podcast, all one word. Scroll on down to the bottom. You'll see a place to leave your comments. You'll see a place to record a voice memo, and you may have your question answered on this show.
Yeah, I hope you guys do that, because then it's so much more fun to hear your voice. And it's kind of like old school radio, right? When people call in, ask questions.
Yeah, those are my favorite. I also caught the longtime listener, first time caller. It can't be that long.
Yeah,
it can't
that was
be
good.
That long. All right. You got like maybe, you got like what, 5 weeks maybe. But we do appreciate it.
There's points.
Make sure you tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, climb your local mountain and stream PAL podcast from the summit. Let everybody know how much fun you're having and listening to us. And until next time, be good to yourself, be good to animals, and we'll see you in a week.
Pets add life.